Well, we talk about a lot of nonsense here on this show. But as we play shorthanded, it's Giorgio and Gordo. Junior is out for the rest of the week and has been out. If you missed it yesterday, unfortunately, Junior's dad passed away a couple of days ago. And he has been with his family. And we ask that you hold a good thought for Junior and his crew as they work through this week. And it's been sad for us, knowing Junior as long as we have and knowing his dad as long as we have. And as much as the great Gordo will probably spend too much time watching outrageous videos online or tracking the latest serial killer
what?
Note,
what?
He also passes along some amazing wisdom. And when we talked about this, I guess it was yesterday early in the show, I thought you said something really profound as we look at our moral existence here on Earth. No, it's when you said everyone ought to really take inventory, and no matter what age you are, and especially if you have an aging parent or just aging friend, is, you know,
I worded it differently than
this. No, it was much better than this. But, you know, make peace with a friend that maybe you've had a falling out with, a family member.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how old you are, life is way too short. And I think that was...
Well, my point
something
was,
really profound you said yesterday. Why would you try it again since I butchered
okay.
it?
Okay, so my point was that when you are older and you are facing, you know, your final years, and we none of us know exactly how long we have left, is that you should be prepared for your own death.
Yeah.
Because if you die and you don't seem to be at peace with the fact that you're dying, I think it haunts your children and those around you much more than it would than if you passed peacefully on.
Yes.
And so we should all do the work, and that's one of the greatest final gifts you can give your children, is to be prepared for your own death and to make peace with your demise, as well as make peace with those that are still left on the earth that you have unfinished business with, or that you have some goals in life that you always wanted to accomplish. Don't leave them unaccomplished if it's going to leave you unsettled by the fact that you're dying and you never got around to that thing.
Yes. Well said, and it got us to thinking about things we haven't accomplished, things we haven't done, places we haven't seen, and we thought we would air that here. Maybe not all of them. Some of them may be really personal that you don't want to throw out there, and that's fine. I have a couple. I will tell you one that I did this year that I wanted to do, and I said, okay, I need to accomplish that. It may not seem like a big deal, but it was to me. And we joke about me skiing on the weekends, but I really haven't. I've surfed, wake surfed in the last few years, but I haven't skied since I had knee surgery, just because it didn't seem like a really sound idea. But I think my knee is sound enough now, and I made the goal this summer. Okay, on my birthday, I want to ski again, because that's what I did growing up. I loved it. You talk about whatever it is, Junior on a bike or... you like getting out on a bike too. That's just a great feeling, that, mm-hmm. that gliding on a bike or cycling. When you're on open water on one ski and it's just you and the wind, I certainly can't cut across the wake like I used to, but it's still real to me. It's still a great feeling. And I got to experience that this summer. Still ski
on. Could you do those like slalom flips and stuff like that?
I couldn't do there's a slalom course where you've really got to get it on your cut across the way and get to that that buoy and then get around. I could never go through a slalom course. I was
What's
never
the
that
thing where
good.
You see the guys like they ramp up off the wake and then they do the entire flip and land back on the ski?
You're thinking about wakeboarding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's wakeboarding when those guys are landing moves in midair, which I've never attempted. My kids could do that. My kids could flip. And
is wakeboarding high on your list?
No. That's a definite young man's game that I probably would have been into back in my teenage years, but that didn't become a thing until my kids were teenagers. So, yeah, if you go out to a lake, very few people are actually skiing, either on two skis or one. It's pretty old school, but this summer I got to ski on the weekend again. That was really important to me, and I'm going to try to do it for as long as I can. Every birthday and maybe beyond that a few times this summer, get out on a slalom again and ski. And it was great. I'm glad I did it. And I've been putting it off for a couple of years, and this year I got around to it. Again, kind of a small thing, but I'm going to pat myself on the back because I went ahead and did it.
Sure.
Summer.
Hell damn yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little thing.
You know, the other thing that you did that had to have been on your bucket list that you knocked out was getting back into music like you did,
yes,
whatever it was, 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's now 12 years ago when I made that, and I said, okay,
dang,
I'm going
it.
To do this.
I was
going to
say 5 years ago, and I thought I should pad it a little bit.
I know. The concept of time is just out the window. But no, that was about 12 years ago, and that's really, that has been a late in life that, well, let's go midlife. a midlife adjustment there that I'm so glad I took that step and did it because it's opened a whole new world of friendships for me, of experiences, mm-hmm, of learning about what it is to, you know, record music. Not that I'm any good at it, but it was something that I've done and I've really enjoyed. I've found purpose with it. And what we have been able to do for some charitable organizations over the last 12 years. And that's really become the focus. And I think I maybe originally got that idea from you when you said, well, hey, why not just do it for charitable reasons and not, if nothing else? And that really got me thinking along those lines. And that's what we've done with it primarily. And that's been really satisfying this last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do that. You dabble with it, and you kick amps and try out 10 guitars a day.
Yeah, that's all just wasting time in the foyer of
life. You need to write, and you need to record something, because you can make something that's, if nothing else, it's beautiful to you and the people who know you. And that is timeless. That will stick around well beyond the time that you're gone.
I don't know about stick around too long, but yes, I think that one of the most important things, let me think this out on the air here. Sorry about this.
But, it's all right.
But it seems to be like what we're talking about. There's two buckets here. There's the buckets of experiences that you want to have while you're alive on this earth. And then there's also this very important category of creativity. And I think people in general really undervalue and underserve their own creativity. There's some people out there listening to us who think that they're just not creative people.
I can't do it. Yeah.
And that is, I think that's a psychological error that you're working on there.
Yeah.
Because we're all creative, and we all start off when we're kids, we're creative. Like, there's nothing more joyful than seeing some kid just, like, grab a sheet of paper and just, they just want to draw.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have this concept that we have as adults that everything is utilitarian.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of that? Why would you do that if you can't monetize it?
Right.
Why are you even working on that? That's just wasting time that could be better spent doing something else. We take almost all our creative ventures as adults and throw them into the category of wasting time because we don't see the purpose of it.
I think I hope in the last 6 months we've turned on that to think we've had maybe some time to step out of our busy schedules to see the importance of that.
Mm-hmm.
And think, you know, I've never done that before. I think what George Bush has done with painting is incredible. That is so great that he did that.
Right.
And that he had an interest in it, but he didn't really, should I do this? And he's done it, and he's really good at it, and he's been able to bring meaning to it. What he's done for those wounded
veterans,
warriors,
yeah,
is just it's just awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm always inspired by people who do that. I think passion is so attractive in anyone, whether it's George Bush being the former president, to see someone who has a passion and that they like are almost committed to it and they nurture it. They tend to it the way they would something that they love, like a pet or a plant. You know, we tend to these things and grow them and cultivate them. When you do that to a passion, that is always so attractive to me,
yeah,
as a human. To see someone be passionate about something.
Yeah.
And to see them do things that have no utilitarian point to them. They're not,
right,
trying to make money. They're not trying to get better so they can dominate others. They're doing it because they are a unique universe that's on this planet only once.
Right.
This occurrence of this person with these experiences is only once. What can you create from that palette of experiences you have and your two hands that you were so, you know, you should be so grateful for that,
yeah,
if you have two hands to create something. And we do that. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that I want to accomplish in my life is overcoming the impediments that I've put up in front of myself to get to feeling to where I can just be creative whenever and however I want to conquer my fear, to live with courage, to do those things.
Because it's hard.
I feel incredibly blocked up in my own life with in my own creativity.
Yeah.
And I think many of us are.
Sure. It's hard. It's hard to overcome that. You're talking about the music thing. You know, I started playing with the band and then got put in a situation when I just started playing of, hey, come out to this celebration of Texas independence and play a couple of numbers. A radio station invited me to do that. And I said, oh, I don't really.
Is that how it started?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think this is after the Bird Dogs already played like one public gig. And I thought that may be it. But you talk about fear. I got up there after a pretty well-known duo had just played and the place was going absolutely crazy. Now some spare comes up and just, you know, puts everybody to sleep with uh-huh. songs that no one's heard and very shaky guitar playing. And oh, it was terrible, but I went through it and it was really useful. And I know I brought this guy up a million times, but one thing that got me over the hurdle was something that he told me, and that is my muse, Randy Rogers. He said, don't worry about what other people think about it. What do you think about it? And if you think it's worth doing and if you like it, then record it and put it out there and or just keep it to yourself, but perform it and do it. Don't worry. We're so concerned now what other people think. And I think, again, it's the social media thing. You can just get and yeah, people made fun of the Bird Dogs, made fun of me, and I really don't care. I've gotten to the point where okay, that's fine. It's, if it's not your thing, but that's what we're doing, and, you know, so be it.
The same way that I speak about how attractive it is when someone is passionate about something, I think one of the most amazing things is seeing someone who has gotten past self-consciousness. It can be anything. It can be a video of some fat guy just dancing, and maybe he's not that good, but if you see him to where he doesn't have any self-consciousness, you know,
yeah.
It's like that. It's like, yeah, F yeah, man, do it. Freaking dance.
Yeah, it feels good. Do
Look
it.
Look at
yeah.
how much fun that guy's having right there.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Anybody who's able to break through their own self-consciousness to just do something and to see their pure joy. Oh, man, I think that is just magical.
Another one of mine is Masters related. At some point, I do want to take my sons to the Masters and walk around those grounds with them and go to the U.S. Open with them too.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two golf-related things I'd like to do with my sons. My dad's favorite tournament was always the U.S. Open.
Right. So, yeah, to take your boys there or something like that, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
that would be really cool.
And that's a pretty easy one to do. Once we get back, and I mean, it's going to be expensive. I'm already starting to see the meter running
figure.
On that one. But at some point when we start traveling again and we can start going to sporting events, I think that one's pretty attainable.
You know, you knocked off one of those with when you shot off your mouth and said that you'd take your kids to the Super Bowl if the Panthers were in
it
because they were big Carolina Panthers fans.
And boy, the price tag got really up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but think about how amazing that
was
is
great,
to be
though.
A dad, to
yeah.
take his boys to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That is such a cool experience.
And I have made a promise to my youngest son who hangs in there every year with the Cowboys. And I told him, okay, if they go someday again to the Super Bowl, I will take you.
Uh-huh.
I told him I don't think I'm going to make
yeah,
it with him.
Safe.
It's probably going to be somebody else
pretty
who has to
there.
Take my place. What are some of yours outside of music?
I would still like to backpack through the world, living low to the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Waking up with backaches from bad mattresses and horrible living quarters or sleeping on the ground, whatever. I want to see a lot of this world, and I want to see it as an animal walking on the ground.
Okay, well, then next time we have some time off, maybe not the world, but how about for a couple of days? Why don't you go do that?
All right.
I mean,
next
someplace
time,
that's
next
drivable.
Time, let's take a Friday off of the show, and I'll travel
this.
To Thailand and walk around.
Not around the world, but, you know, get a start on it and drive someplace you've never been before that's
yes.
really hikeable and
it,
beautiful and go see it.
Every single time that I have to drive, like, a little bit out of Dallas-Fort Worth.
You get slump-shouldered.
No, I
oh,
love it.
Okay.
Like, it's even, like, I have to travel, I don't know, I'm just making up a scenario, but I don't think this has ever happened. But let's say that there's some business that's a couple hours away
mm-hmm.
that has an old car I want to look at or something. Just some pretext that I have to go to a specific place. And as I'm driving those highways and just looking at different landscape, I think, God, I could do this every weekend and see new little places yeah. around here, because it really enthuses me for some reason just to get out of my rut.
Yeah. And if you don't want to rough it, take your camper.
Dang Airstream. Yeah. That ain't roughing it.
No. Yeah.
That's like, that's luxury right there. But yeah, to backpack through the world, you know, living pretty close to the ground, I think that would be great. Mm-hmm. I loved backpacking when I used to do that earlier in my 20s, just taking just the bare minimum. I always loved staying at, you know, nice little dives, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I didn't want to stay in horribly depressing places, but I always liked not staying in nice hotels, staying in some mom and pop hotel in podunk Europe.
Yeah, you bumped around Europe doing that a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, and it was great. It's still some of my fondest memories. You know, I'm reminded of that line in Lonesome Dove when, God, here's another one I can't talk about. Lonesome Dove always gets to me.
Lonesome Dove always gets you?
I don't know, man. Yeah. There's so many points in Lonesome Dove.
Forrest Gump always gets me.
It just kills me. But when Robert Duvall's character, Call, is asking Woodrow, who's Tommy Lee Jones's character, you know, just when were you the happiest? And Woodrow, who is the utilitarian guy, he's like, you know, what do you mean? And Duvall's asking, you know, when were you the happiest just being a creature walking free on the earth? You know, the fact that we have this freedom that we can just walk the earth freely and just there are moments in your life where you just feel that. And I felt that so many times when I was backpacking around in towns where I knew no one and just seeing things that I'd seen in books when I was a boy my whole life.
Yeah,
cool. Just going, man, this is a cool thing that I got to be an animal living free on the earth for a while.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What a gift.
You know, I am not I'm not the traveler that you and Junior are and do not have the fascination with other points in the world, but I live with someone who runs up the credit card and talks a lot. What do they call them? Oh, yeah, wife. And
dude. What are you?
We're having fun here. We had to
have a cracking joke at some point. 1970s comedian?
No, but she really wants, and this last summer we were going to go to, we weren't sure exactly where, France, Scotland, somewhere, and we didn't because of what, you know, the pandemic.
Way to go, pandemic.
But that is important to me because it's important to her, you know, I'd love to play one of the old courses.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to play St. Andrews. I'd like to at least see it. And that was really cool when it did open my eyes when we took that very short trip to London with the Cowboys. That was really a great experience for me. That was really eye-opening, and I got it at that point. And like,
really?
Wow, yeah. Not to the point where, I can't wait to go back and I'm going to plan all these European vacations, but I do want to go back and experience it more than, you know, we had to take really quick trips before we went on the air, but it was still great.
We were working, but I know. I just couldn't believe this is such a stupid little sentiment, but I know that this is what I felt. Like when I was seeing things, and it doesn't have to be in Europe. I'm just using this as an example. It could be when I went to Washington, D.C. for the first time when I was a boy. We took a family vacation out there. It was like, this is so cool. I have seen the Capitol building on TV so many times, and now I'm allowed to actually stand in front of it.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to Europe and I'm like, gosh, we're just allowed to walk straight up to the Mona Lisa and look at it.
Yeah.
It's an incredible feeling. And just traveling within your own state. I mean, Texas is so diverse.
So much to see.
Geologically, it's diverse.
Big Ben, I've not seen it yet. That's a crime for a Texan.
It's so beautiful. And it connects you to the ground. And I think we are so unconnected to the ground these days. To just being a creature that's made of dirt ourselves.
I know.
And to feel that, to walk barefoot on the grass again. When was the last time people walked barefoot on the grass? I mean, we don't ground ourselves anymore.
You're worried about stepping on a stick or a sticker or something.
Right, let me go get my shoes. Let me make sure that they just walk on concrete and carpet.
But bottom line to all of this, whatever it is that's on your list, start doing it.
Start doing it.
If it's just a portion of what you want to do, if it's just maybe taking that small step, don't say, yeah, I'm going to get around to that. Just go do it.
Yes. It's later than you think.
Yep.
And I know that so many people have so many problems, and you get so focused on your problems that you don't look at that pile of blessings that you're sitting on that are allowing you to even look at the problems.
Yep.
There's a lot of blessings in everyone's life, and we're naturally inclined to look at the problems that we have rather than the very fact that we're alive, and most of us have people that care for us and are interested in us. Even small blessings like a silly radio show you've been tuning into for a few years.
Yeah, it's a very small blessing, but we appreciate
silly
it too.
Things like that are a blessing.
Absolutely. So there you go, P1s. That's our message to you this morning.
And rest in peace, Bob Miller.
Yes. Amen.
Thinking about
Think about the Miller family today.